What does it take to be an entrepreneur, and how is it changing in our ever-evolving business landscape? This is Scott Galloway, host of the Prof G Podcast and an entrepreneur myself. Right now, we've got a special three-part series running all about the future of entrepreneurship. We're answering your questions on work-life balance, how to raise capital for your business, and more. Because when you're an entrepreneur, it's always important to look ahead at what's to come. So tune in to the Future of Entrepreneurship, a Prof G Pod special sponsored by Mercury. You can find it on the Prof G Pod feed or wherever you get your podcasts.
The NBA playoffs are heating up, and so is the action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. DraftKings brings you same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and so much more. You can download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code VOXMMA. That's code VOXMMA for new customers to get 150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.
Mixed martial arts. Mixed martial arts. How do we like our martial arts? We like them mixed!
Yes, we do. And there's just one more stop for the UFC on the road to UFC 285. And they don't have to travel very far from home base. In fact, they're right at home base, back at the UFC Apex for UFC Vegas 70, featuring a light heavyweight headliner. The return of a middleweight many believe is the next big thing, taking on a very game fighter looking to make his own move up the ranks. And the return of a fighter who looked to be well underway to becoming a UFC champion, only to be forced to sit on the sidelines for almost 4 years. As we welcome you to the live UFC Vegas 70 preview show here at MMAfighting.com, I am Mike Heck, happy to be joined by the wonderful wordsmith himself, Mr. Shaheen Al-Shadi. Hello, sir.
What's going on, guys?
And Mr. No Gray Area, takes that are just so spicy. Woo! Mr. Chad Mishu. How are you?
Fight week, yeah! Oh my goodness, guys, this card's so good! Casey got me hyped up in the pre-show, let's go!
Hey, Jed, we're down to 11 fights.
I mean, if we lost like six more, that would be great. We can get this to a tidy five. This would be a pretty good event.
Yes, over the last 48 hours, we lost Jose Johnson versus Garrett Armfield, and then Brendan Fitzgerald announced at the weigh-ins that Haley Cowan versus Island Perez no longer happening. So we are at a nice tight 11 fights.
I'm actually a little bummed we lost the Jose Johnson fight. Not because that fight, like, I super cared, but I did have a bet on Jose Johnson because he's like a foot taller than Armfield. And so it was just going to be really funny to watch that fight happen. So a little fight circus for us in the UFC.
Well, there you go. But gentlemen, it is great to have you here. Shaheen, we'll start with you because, look, we're just being honest here. Most people are eyeballing next Saturday's pay-per-view, the return of Jon Jones, making his heavyweight debut against Ciryl Gane. We have this go-home show, UFC Vegas 70, main event Nikita Krylov versus Ryan Spann. Krylov looking to make it three straight. Spann looking to do the same, but technically this would be looking for his second straight win since, as he put it, actually training and giving a full effort. So thoughts on this main event at 205 pounds?
Oh wow, my internet suddenly got really bad. That's great. That's clutch. You know, it's an Apex main event. I'll say that it's not, I can understand why this is the main event, right? Because this is the full chaos clause in effect. We know what we're gonna get with this matchup. We're going to get fireworks. We're going to get something very explosive and probably ending very quickly. Like, that's Nikita Krylov. Anytime he goes into a fight, you just can expect the weirdest, wildest thing possible. And then Ryan Spann, I mean, he's a true getter, get got fighter, especially now since apparently he tries now. So that's really helpful as well. So ultimately, like, I can understand why this is the main event, right? Like, this is just going to be a very fun fight. It would be incredible, frankly, if this isn't just a good fight to watch, an entertaining fight. But ultimately, that's not the draw of this card for me, right? Because for whatever this main event is, there are two, in my eyes at least, two future UFC champions on this card, and neither of them are the light heavyweights who are headlining this. We're talking about Andre Muniz and Tatiana Suarez. That's the appeal of this card for me, is the return of Tatiana Suarez and the continued climb up this middleweight division for Andre Muniz, who is basically Jacare 2.0. I am here for that. So that, this weekend, that's what I'm tuning into.
Yes, and of course we'll discuss both of those fights. But Jed, both these guys been sort of up and down over their last six or seven fights. Both have two straight wins. Krylov 30, Spann 31. Both seem to be catching their stride in their athletic primes. Who do you think actually has more momentum heading into this fight, and who has more to prove tomorrow between these two gentlemen?
I think Ryan Spann has to have more momentum, right? And we talked about this on Between the Links yesterday. And afterwards, I thought about it even more. I was like, honestly, these two dudes really are the light heavyweightiest, light heavyweights. Like, they win a few, they lose a few. Sometimes they look good. Sometimes they inexplicably get tapped out by Paul Craig. Any number of things sort of happen with these guys. I think you got to go with Ryan Spann. I mean, but that's sort of Ryan Spann's whole MO, right? Like, when he's winning, he's got momentum, and then he takes all that momentum and just dives off a cliff like a lemming. Like, it's just he's all gas, no brakes. This man has no middle ground, and that's sort of also Nikita Krylov, but he's, I don't know. This is a weird fight. I have no real idea what's going to happen. If Ryan Spann is like not bullshitting us and he's actually trying now and he hadn't his entire career before, one, I love that. I love that so much. It speaks to what a carnival sport this is. Like, I don't know. I just did it and I was like pretty good at it. And now here I am, ostensibly in the best organization in the world, and I'm still not trying. It's amazing. I love this sport. I can't wait for 30 years from now when MMA gets real people in it. We're going to have great, great fighters in that day and age. Until then, we get guys like Ryan Spann who have some talent and don't make an effort. And he might lose to Nikita Krylov, he's not a good athlete, but boy, does Nikita Krylov try hard. And this is a fundamental battle, guys. I don't think we're recognizing this for what it is. This is a battle of a man with limited talent who is going to work his ass off, and a man with lots of talent who will not work at all. And we're going to see which of these two things wins out. This is epic stuff, and I think we're selling it short by not appreciating the narratives at play here.
Jed, I think you just bumped the ratings up. I think you just got like 30
extra people. I did the best I could, man.
That was pretty damn good. That
was incredible. That was
unbelievable. Shaheen, who do you think actually needs this win more? Could either of these fighters with a good performance get a bit of a promotional push with the win? Like, are there like high stakes involved? I know we got two ranked guys, and perhaps the light heavyweight title is on the line between these two guys, but can either guy like gain a lot here outside of just getting a win in the second paycheck and maybe getting a slot or two higher in the rankings?
God, a show or two ago, I had proposed some sort of like new league that we build with some rich benefactor where we give the legends retiring in the sport. We give them fights they're going to win against Cans, but we also put like weird fake belts on the line for every fight. Why can't we just get that? I want the light heavyweight belt on the line for this because it feels perfect. I love the way Jed laid that out there. Like, that's promotion, right? That's promotion done well. Who's going to defend the light heavyweightiest title? Who needs it more is an interesting question, right? Because I think both men need it pretty significantly, right? Like, both are sort of on that same precipice where we view them one way, but if you do look at their resumes, like, honestly, their resumes are both kind of sneaky good. Like, you can sort of excuse the losses for Nikita Krylov. He has a few more than Ryan Spann in the UFC, but you can excuse them, right? Like, Jan Błachowicz right before Jan was about to be champ, Glover Teixeira right before Glover was about to be champ, Magomedan Kalayev, and then Paul Craig, who just seems to beat people he shouldn't beat. Like, that's that's not a bad run through of, by any stretch of the imagination. And then Ryan Spann, same thing, right? Like getting knocked out by Johnny Walker and choked out by Anthony Smith. Like that's not bad when it comes to 9 UFC fights, being 7-2. Like, again, very sneaky good resumes. I think both are on that same precipice where a win in a situation like this where you're the main event and this should probably be a very fun fight again, kind of can bump you up into that conversation where all of a sudden we've been talking for a while about how wide open 205 is and the fact that anything kind of happened in this division. I mean, we saw Jamal Hill go from like number 10 to number 2 or number 1 all of a sudden in our rankings basically overnight. So anything can kind of happen. I think a win puts either of those guys in that conversation with the same type of level of like a Johnny Walker conversation now where you're maybe one fight away, maybe you're two fights away from fighting somebody that actually matters and someone who can get you somewhere in this division. So who needs it more? I think they both need it, frankly.
Jed, both guys can finish. Both guys have been finished a few times as well. Both right now in their respective careers appear to be on the trying train. And I feel like we're on the same page with this one. Like if this one ends really quick, I feel like the headline will be MMA Fighting reacts to Ryan Spann's quick knockout. But if we get into 3, 4, 5 championship rounds, I feel like the narrative changes to Nikita Krylov just kind of beats the hell out of Ryan Spann. I think Krylov's just better equipped for the later rounds. Do you feel the same or do you look at things a little bit differently?
Oh, I mean, he's better equipped for the later rounds, but this isn't going past 3. Like this thing is, neither of these dudes go to the scorecards almost at all. Like this is a 5-round fight in name only because we're not getting into rounds 4 and 5. Either Spann's going to knock him out or hit him with the ghillie, or Krylov's just going to put a pace on him and Spann's going to fold. And it's like there are two outcomes happening here. I do disagree with Sean though. Neither of these dudes need this. This is light heavyweight. The rules don't apply to 205. Did you? Without looking, do you know where Nikita Krylov is currently ranked in the UFC's rankings?
Someone just put it on the chat, so I do know.
Oh, did they? That's brutal, because he is number 6! Number 6 is up, like, I would have said 12. If, like, I was just like, yeah. Ryan Spann's 8. Like, it's because he knocked out the husk of Dominic Reyes. He's 8. Like, if Spann wins this, he's probably going to be a top 5 light heavyweight. It's insane. It's just absolutely insane. The winner of this is like Anthony Smith is fighting Johnny Walker. Like he's fighting back because light heavyweight's in a bit of a cluster. But like the winner of this can just realistically call out Jan Błachowicz for a title fight next. Like that's a very reasonable thing that could happen. So neither of them need it because frankly, the loser of this is still a top 10 light heavyweight according to the UFC. So it's fine. You can stay relevant in this division until you're 47. Just look at Glover. They're both doing okay, but the winner of this is like one fight away from a title shot. Burn this division to the ground.
They're both also like only, they're only like 30 years old, right? Like this is a division.
Oh yeah, 40 year old men.
Like they got a long way to go. They're going to be doing this for another.
They're not even in their primes yet. And Krylov's been fighting for like 15 years. Like we're golden. Neither of them need this. If you just hang around long enough, this is the same. We could have this exact same conversation about Jan Błachowicz like 7 years ago. It was like, he's sort of a top 15 dude because his weight class is trash. And if he just hangs around for long enough, he'll get a title fight. And look what happened. He did. That's how it went. Like, they're fine if they lose this. Just keep being here. The best ability is availability, and nowhere is that more true than women's bantamweight and men's light heavyweight, baby.
Oh, man. Shaheen, right now, Nikita Krylov is the minus 170 favorite. The comeback on Ryan Spann is plus 140. I do feel like this will be fun while it lasts, Shaheen. Who gets this one done?
Do the odds makers know that Ryan's trying now, though? Like, are they taking that into account? Because I mean,
I think that's baked into the price.
Yeah, man, I don't know. I think that's baked into the price. I'll go Spann because I think Spann's on a nice run right now. Again, sneaky good resume in the UFC, 7-2. Like, that's not bad by any stretch of the imagination. And the two he loses, I think those could anybody can get knocked out by Johnny Walker. I'll go riot span. I don't feel super strong about it. I think, again, the full chaos clause is going to be in effect for this fight for however long it lasts. It's a total coin flip, but I'll go riot span. I feel good about that.
Jed, what say you?
I'm going riot span largely because, well, one, if he's trying, he should win. But Krylov just is not a man who cares too much about his own health. And Ryan Spann's a pretty dangerous dude to be super reckless against. So this will actually be a really fun fight. Like, for whatever I've said about it, this is a fight that I will be excited to go and like watch it happen.
I'm not fully, I wouldn't be
that's a glowing endorsement.
Well, look, I mean, come on. Like, a lot of other fights in this card, I am not excited to see happen. We're going to talk about a couple of them coming up.
Yeah, we're going to put the frosting on the cake here, and that's pretty much it. But yeah, I wouldn't be confident either way. I think this one actually probably could be lined a little bit closer, but it's not too far off. If I were a betting man, I'd be betting on Ryan Spann because of the perceived extra value, at least in my eyes. But, you know, just a straight pick. I'll take a shot on Krylov, weathering the storm. This fight gets pushed into the second, early third, and then gets a takedown against a tired Ryan Spann, gets a choke of some kind, maybe a submission win. But
does Ryan Spann even get tired now? Does Ryan Spann even get tired anymore? If now he's trying, maybe he's actually doing cardio. Who knows?
But maybe he's like really, really trying, and he will really, really try for like 7 minutes until his body just can't try any longer and he just gets tired.
I mean, I think that's frankly a really good way to fight. Just know your limits. You know, I got 7 minutes in me. I'm going to give you hell for seven. If you make it to eight, we're done here. And that's okay. It's a good way to go about it. It's the Zabit corollary, only he did it for 10. Zabit had 10 good minutes in him. And then that we were done.
Well, Jed, Shaheen mentioned his name earlier, but Andre Muniz is back. Co-main event. First fight since International Fight Week. I think you and I both have him ranked number 6 in our rankings. He faces Brennan Allen, who has looked really good as of late. A guy who has a skill set that if he can get on a roll and things come together, he could do some damage at 185 pounds. How excited are you about the return of Andre Muniz and this being the matchup, which, by the way, we threw out the light heavyweight title. This is for the undisputed middleweightiest middleweight title since Brennan Allen took that strap off of Christoph Jocko.
I dispute this. We talked about it yesterday. I just don't think if Andre Muniz isn't a middleweight, he's just good.
No, yeah.
Like he's just good. So if he beats Brennan Allen, I don't think he could be the middleweightiest middleweight. It just then Allen gets to defend the belt against. I don't know who, because we can't run it back with Jocko. Like, you got to let that rematch build, you know? I don't know who you do it. But when Muniz wins, he will just be middleweight contender Andre Muniz, not the middleweightiest middleweight. It was dope. I honestly don't really remember the Uriah Hall fight all that much. And it feels like it's been a lifetime since I've seen Andre Muniz fight, so... It would be cooler if he was fighting somebody who was going to get him close to the title, but I suspect pretty strongly that a lot of those names above him are not too antsy to fight Andre Muniz because this man broke Jacare's arm. And if you could break Jacare's arm, I got to say, you got a real good chance of like breaking Jared Cannonier's arm. So he's awesome. I hope he gets to fight for a title one day. I would pick him to beat the current champion, but middleweight's weird right now because of that. But yeah, he's dope. I'm excited to see him back against a guy who's fun. Brendan Allen is very fun. This fight will also be fun.
Yeah. And look, if Andre wins the middleweight title, he could just throw it in the trash. He could just put it in his mantle and retire it forever. Or he could just hand it right back to Brendan Allen. He seems like a nice, giving guy. He'll take the higher ranking spot and no, Brendan can have the middleweight.
What's Kelvin Gastelum doing? What's Kelvin Gastelum doing?
He's fighting Chris Curtis.
Oh, that feels like a middleweighty.
Faking middleweightiest middleweight title.
That's a pretty middleweighty middleweight
fight.
Chris Curtis does not belong in that conversation. Come on.
Chris Curtis is pretty middleweighty if you watch them in fight. Like,
I would push
he's,
back on
like
that.
He's yeah like what is middleweighty, like good at things but not great at anything, feels like the definition of middle. It's like middle, it is the middle. It's like not that athletic, but you know, not huge, not like heavyweight.
I feel like sort of there vibe.
I mean, Chris Curtis doesn't have the same vibe as Christoph Jocko, because no one does. Christoph Jocko is the undisputed goat of middleweighthood. But Kelvin Gastelum, Chris Curtis, just hanging around that like middleweighty part feels okay to me.
Fair enough. It's funny that Uriah Hall has already
Jack Hermanson
and fought. Jack's a good there one too. Go.
Yeah, that feels
Jack right. Jack Hermanson's pretty middleweighty.
Yeah, Andre Muniz back for the first time since July 2nd of last year. Uriah Hall has already switched combat sports and boxed a former NFL running back in that same amount of time, just to give you some sort as of timeline of how long it has been, as one would do. But Shaheen,
it's
I mean
a weird sport with you guys.
It is. But Andre Muniz is coming back, gets a little bit of a head start on Dricus du Plessis, a week ahead of good old DDP, who's fighting Derek Brunson next week, taking on Brennan Allen. I feel like when we're talking about up and coming 85ers right now, it's a two horse race. It's who's going to get there first, Muniz or DDP. How excited are you for this matchup? He's got to fight somebody, and Brennan Allen just happened to say yes. And I don't feel like a lot of guys ranked above Andre Muniz were clicking that pen to sign the dotted line.
Yeah, and I will say, I think one person we're leaving out of this middleweighty conversation is the king of all the middleweighties, which is Marvin Vettori. Like, I feel like he has to have some sort of say in this whole conversation.
No,
sort of
the king
of this ladder.
He's ascended. He is ascended to Valhalla of middleweight.
No, he's like the Shang Tsung on the Mortal Kombat totem pole. Like, yeah, he's up there.
He's the end boss, though. You can't just get to him. Like, you gotta. He's at the end of the game. He is the middleweighty.
Yeah, but I mean, Andre Muniz, to me, man, like, to go back to what we should be talking about, it's unfortunate to me that this is the fight that we're getting for Andre Muniz, because this feels like the exact same, like, this actually just kind of feels like a step down, frankly, from where he already was. Like, it's, if nothing else, it's a lateral step. And it'd be one thing if he's a very busy man who has been, you know, fighting pretty consistently, but he's not fighting nearly enough to be taking lateral steps in my eyes. Like, I know this isn't the type of a fighter the UFC will usually push pretty quickly up the ladder. Like, this is the type of Beneil Dariush guy who's going to have to take the slow road if he wants to get to the belt. But Andre Muniz, to me, is probably already like a top five middleweight. If not, like, I think he could compete with the top three. I think he would give Izzy and Alex both hell of fights. Robert's a little bit tougher of a matchup, but I think just style-wise, like, he would give both those dudes pretty tough fights. I have so much confidence and belief in Andre Muniz and the potential this man has, and just what he can become here at 185 if he gets the right path. And Brendan Allen, to me, for as, you know, fun of a fighter as Brendan Allen is, and he still has a lot of potential, Andre Muniz should be fighting more upwards than this. But maybe this is the fight that he needs to sort of reintegrate himself back into the division. As you said, Jed, it's been a long time since we've seen him. It's been almost a year at this point. That's real unfortunate for a person who I think a lot of us feel like is probably the top prospect in this division. So hopefully this is sort of the one that can launch him, leapfrog him into that conversation where we're talking about real, actual, you know, main type of fights with Andre Muniz. Because again, I have so much belief in this man's potential. You go out there and you break Jacare's arm, even if it's an old man Jacare, that is, you cannot overstate how impressive that is. This man, to me, is Jacare 2.0 in this division, and I just can't wait till he's in the real conversation rather than this sort of thing.
Oh, don't put that evil on him. Jacare 2.0 never fought for the belt. Jacare never fought for the belt. He needs to be something better.
But he was a Strike Force champ. Like, he had good opportunities. He just got to the UFC a little late, and he was kind of a little old by the time he got to the UFC.
And the middleweight division was dumb, and which is what it currently is. And it's currently very dumb, and that's why Muniz is fighting unranked Brendan Allen, and DDP is getting Derek Brunson and like moving to number five. This is I hate the Jacare comparison because it's really apt and might be apt in ways that are very unfortunate for us all.
Jed, do you agree that, like, look, in terms of ranking and name value, Brennan Allen is a step back from Uriah Hall, but in terms of like skill set and who the better fighter is, I feel like Brendan is a better fight to answer more questions about Andre Muniz than the Uriah Hall one, at least to me. I feel like this is a tougher fight than the Uriah one in that sense, if we're trying to just build him up. Maybe not, again, in ranking and name value, but in terms of competition, I don't think this is a step down in terms of competition.
I don't know. I mean, it's really hard. Brendan Allen's certainly a more consistent fighter than Uriah Hall, but Uriah Hall is a wild card, or at least has been through his career. I mean, dude floored Gegard Mousasi when Gegard was probably at the best that he has ever been. So this fight doesn't appeal to me too much on the merits. I mean, it's a quality fight. Brendan Allen's a fine fighter. I think the things that Brendan Allen is best at, I think Brendan Allen is a good grappler, and that's like where he makes a lot of hay. He's probably a better striker than Andre Muniz, but I kind of just don't think that matters. And it's like, okay, well, you can't really play on the ground with Andre Muniz. That just isn't a path to victory here. So it kind of feels like we're learning the same lessons. Albeit maybe Brendan Allen's a little more consistent. Yeah, I would prefer to see him face somebody else. Somebody who, okay, like Derek Brunson would have been a very fun one. Like, what happens if you can't, Andre Muniz, if you can't get your wrestling going at all, or if you just get taken down repeatedly, like how do you fight in these circumstances? I don't think that's what we're looking at here. But I'm happy to watch the man work.
Yeah, he's going to fight either Jack or Manson or a guy like Sean Strickland after this fight. So I think he's going to get a step up in ranking and name after this. But anyone picking Brendan Allen here, gentlemen?
No.
No way.
Anyone picking Andre Muniz by finish?
I am.
I think he's really tough. I think
He
learned some lessons from the Uriah Hall fight, where he more or less spent 15 minutes just hunting for a submission. And I think he got sort of, like, this is a step backwards because of that. I think the UFC doesn't sort of take look kindly upon a performance like that. I think he probably learned some lessons from that.
Yeah, I think Brendan Allen is just a different kind of grappler than Uriah Hall. I don't even know about the lessons learned. I hope he did, because you can't just play backpack and try. Like, that's just not – that's, like, the biggest issue with, like, Muhammad Makhachev and Mackenzie Dern, just playing sub games instead of punish games. But I also just think Brendan Allen will be far more willing to put himself in danger to pursue escapes than Uriah Hall was, which will not work out for him in the slightest. So I think Andre Muniz gets the finish.
It's a really good point. I'm picking decision. I think this fight's going to be fun. I think Muniz gets it done, but I do think Allen's going to test him a little bit more than the betting line suggests and most people suggest. But that's why they fight. I could be dead wrong. Muniz could just go out there and club and sub him and get him out of there real quick. But let's talk about the return of Tatiana Suarez Shaheen.
What does it take to be an entrepreneur, and how is it changing in our ever-evolving business landscape? This is Scott Galloway, host of the Prop G podcast and an entrepreneur myself. Right now, we've got a special three-part series running all about the future of entrepreneurship. We're answering your questions on work-life balance, how to raise capital for your business, and more. Because when you're an entrepreneur, it's always important to look ahead at what's to come. So tune in to the Future of Entrepreneurship, a Prop G Pod special sponsored by Mercury. You can find it on the Prop G Pod feed or wherever you get your podcasts.
The NBA playoffs are heating up, and so is the action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. DraftKings brings you same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and so much more. Don't miss out as the NBA postseason winds down. And new customers to DraftKings can bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets instantly. You can download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code VOXMMA. That's code VOXMMA for new customers to get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
By the time this woman fights tomorrow, it will be 1,358 days from the Nina Nunes fight.
Is that a lot? That seems like a lot.
That's a lot. That's a lot of days. I wasn't even working for MMA Fighting by the time she last fought. I was like a year away from that happening. So that just tells you how long ago that was. But she's
Shaheen just didn't have a kid. Shaheen didn't even kind of have a kid. Wasn't even in the ballpark of a kid.
Yeah. I mean, there was no pandemic. There's nothing. I mean, so much has changed. We could do this all day long, but this is the woman who's just been ravaged by bad luck and injury after injury. And now she's back 125 against Montana De La Rosa Shaheen. I think the matchmaking here is absolutely spectacular because Montana De La Rosa has zero Fs to give. She's going to go right after Tatiana Suarez. She doesn't care who she is. She ain't afraid of her. She's going to get it. She's going to go in there and she's going to try her hardest to get a win. Probably not going to work out too well for her, but she's going to go after Tatiana. She ain't going to be scared at all. So I think this is perfect matchmaking. 1,358 days, Shaheen. Tatiana Suarez finally coming back. Love this matchmaking. Where are we at with this? A little more than 24 hours away from it.
God, that's so many days. When you contextualize that like that, it's just crazy, man. You're right. That's pre-pandemic. I think that's like two John Jones arrests ago. Like, God, it's a long time, man. It's a really long time. I like the matchmaking. I like that you almost like smirked, Mike. You couldn't hold it back when you were like, she's going to try really hard, because I'm sure she is. But I feel like we all know sort of what this is, right? Like, this is a warm-up fight. Like, this is a comeback fight to, hey, let's get your feet wet a little bit and before we throw you into the deep end with the sharks. Because Tatiana Suarez, before she left us, before we had this long layoff, I don't think there were, what, two or three women in this game that people were high on or more high on than Tatiana Suarez. Like, she was getting called the female Habib. She was getting called all sorts of just, like, everyone was prognosticating her to be a future UFC champion. And if you just go back and watch what she did to Carla Esparza, I was there that day. I think that was Dallas. That was probably the Darren Till card, maybe, with Tyron Woodley. That was unbelievable to watch. She took Carla at her own game and destroyed her with it, like surpassed her on a completely different level. We always hear there's levels to this. She was like four levels above Carla when it came to the wrestling and ground and pound and just all of that. Like, it was a masterful performance over a woman who eventually went back to regain her title using that strategy, more or less. We're not going to talk about the Rose fight. So Tatiana Suarez, to me, if I picked her on one of our shows earlier this year to be someone who's going to be a champion by the end of the year. It's just a matter of health for her. I still fully believe if she is able to stay healthy and compete consistently this year, like, this might be the year we finally see it happen. Maybe that's foolish. Maybe that's silly to say, considering her history and just the fact that we haven't seen her be able to consistently compete for so long. But man, if we can get a healthy, complete Tatiana Suarez back in here, like, this makes the women's divisions, so, like, which are already right now, like, 125 is very interesting. Whether it's 125 or 115, whichever direction she wants to go, it makes it so infinitely more compelling just by injecting her into this mix. Because I think she could beat either champion if she's right. If she's on her best day, she could just become champion in either division she wanted to right now. That's how highly I think of her. Like, we were calling Mount Muniz Jacare 2.0. Like, Tatiana Suarez is Carla Esparza 4.0. Like, she is just bringing a level of wrestling and ground and pound and just submission mastery to this division, or grappling mastery to this division, that just does not exist right now. And I'm really excited for it. I hope this is the one. I hope this is the real time where we get her full, where we get her healthy and able to compete for consistently.
Jed, in a 7-day span, we could see Tatiana Suarez fight, Jake Paul and Tommy Fury fight, and John Jones freaking fight. 2023. just a wild year, is it not? Tatiana Suarez coming back. This is such a big deal. This is the most interesting storyline of the weekend, is it not? Suarez coming back. Like, this is what most people are focused on, I think.
It's a good question. I don't know. Maybe. I got to say, it's not that interesting to me, largely because I have zero doubts that she's going to look just as good, if not much better than she did before. She's going to run right through Montana De La Rosa. And it's just going to be business. Like, we're just going to be right back. We're going to be we teleported. We all talk about how COVID feels like we lost a bunch of years and time just sort of move quickly, and it feels like that. It's gonna be like that. It's like, oh yeah, like, sure, she missed 4 years, but whatever, she's now the number three fighter in the world, and let's just run her into a title fight. It'll be great. So there's not a lot of intrigue for me here. I am, I guess, interested because I will also be interested to watch Tatiana Suarez work. But look, she's a female Khabib. Khabib's one of my favorite fighters of all time. I love Tatiana Suarez. I love watching her fight. She's going to beat the hell out of this woman. It's going to be great. And then it's on to getting the title. Let's go.
Do we have a low-key banger here, Shaheen?
Oh. I mean, that Ode Osborne-Charles Johnson fight looks pretty nice on the prelims. If I have to pick one, I would say that. Also, the Mike Malott. Mike Malott's interesting, right? Like, I'm interested to see how far this guy can take it, and he has an interesting, he's a good backstory as well. So I would say those two for me.
Yeah, it's been a minute for him. 10 months, I think that Mickey Gall fight was the last time he fought, right? And he raised all that money. That sounds was right. A pretty cool story.
Sounds
yeah,
right. That does sound right. Yeah,
that was a minute. And Johan Leonais likes to throw bombs too. Canada versus Canada in that fight. Jed, what stands out to you that not a lot of people are talking about?
Canada versus Canada. If we're just going for banger and entertainment, Eric Gonzalez, Trevor Peak. I don't know if you guys ever watched Trevor Peak fight. I don't know that he's good. I have a sneaking suspicion that he's probably not. But man, he's coming to fight. That dude is not here to get paid by the minute or to give a single F about anything. He is going to scrap his ass off for every minute that he possibly can. It's resulted in him having like 6 first round finishes and then a second round or something like that. The man's never seen the third round. And if you watch any of his fights, you can understand why almost immediately. And I have no reason to believe that he will be anything different. And Eric Gonzalez is probably just going to get knocked out. But either way, he's going to have to fight his ass off because that's what Trevor Peak does.
Yeah, I mean, those are all the picks. I am interested to see how Jazz Avizius. Yeah, I mean, those are all the picks. I have nothing more to add. Jazz Avizius coming back. Gabrielle Fernandez is a really good fighter. She's been killing it over in LFA. She likes to in there and finish fights, and Jazz had a tough go in her last one. So curious to see how she bounces back. And if she wins, the way she will promote herself after the fact will be a lot of fun to watch, because no one will promote Jasmine better than her. She's been killing it on the social media game lately and putting out some good content, but that's a tough fight for her. So we'll see. I guess, Casey, do we want to take a couple of questions? We could take a couple. We have a little bit of time. Yeah, we do have another preview show coming up immediately after this. Talk about Jake Paul versus Tommy Fury. So stay tuned.
Are we not going to talk? Are we not going to talk about the best fight this weekend?
That's right. Yeah. We didn't talk about the Duff Man.
It's back. Oh, I wasn't even talking about the Duff Man.
No, I thought you were talking
also
about
Yaroslav. There is the Duff Man.
Well, we got that.
Yeah, that's the best.
We got Bellator 291.
Yeah.
Yeah. Bellator 291. I feel like we should at least talk about that.
Yeah, Yaroslav Amosov.
I'm no longer willing to say it's a better card, Casey.
Have a better main card. I understand that it's different structures. You don't have to watch
When the UFC was rolling out 13 fights, I was willing to call Bellator the better card. Bellator has twice as many fights now. It's tough, but it has the best fight of the weekend.
Yeah.
Like, bar none.
Yeah, but that's got to be paced like a BKFC card to start. It's just got to be boom, 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 boom. Half these fights. Like, look at these fights. Look at the matchmaking. Look at the Irish fighters are fighting. It's for the most part, it's like minus 800 favorites are just going to go in there and crush in 90 seconds. And then by the time Thompson and Amanda Guerra finish talking, the two fighters for the next fight are already going to be in the cage getting announced by Michael C. Williams. So 18 fights are going to fly. 13 of them, if they do the all of them on the prelims, they're just going to go boom, 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 boom.
It's wild. Like, if you're in the arena, they don't even do walkouts.
I mean, just the Irish crowd alone will make that the best experience of the weekend.
For sure.
As media members, we're not covering those early prelims for Bellator. It's a different thing. It's for the hometown kids, those type of fights. But
I mean, maybe there'll be a good sick little finish. Like, I'm happy Norbert Nemenyi is coming back.
Yeah.
There's some good solid fighters on it. Magomed Sharipov's back. Norbert Nurvenyi Jr. is back, who hasn't fought in like 3 years, but he was one of the best up and coming prospects in the sport before he got injured and COVID happened. So, yeah, I mean, there's some good little storylines on the prelims.
And also, how about
and some squash matches?
Yeah.
Oh, that'll be plenty of those. Probably both of those fights that I just mentioned. Picks for 1FC. Who's main event? John Lineker, Fabricio de Andrade. Hopefully this goes clean. We don't have to feel pain watching a replay. Who's got a pick here? Anyone picking John Lineker to get this done? Anyone picking Fabricio de Andrade to get it done?
I'd pick FDA.
Just same.
He wasn't beating the hell out of him, but he was winning that fight before the low blow. And you can't ever count John Lineker out because that man is tougher than a $2 steak and he chucks hammers. But we saw this fight very recently, and even though the finish was odd, you know, we didn't get a definitive finish. Feel like we could kind of extrapolate from that who the better fighter in that fight was.
Yeah, I agree.
I got Lineker all day.
I love it. I hope fire rib roasters. Yeah. Let's go.
How mad is Jed that Darren Till is still 15th in the UFC's rankings?
Says everything about middleweight.
I think it speaks more to Darren Till and his incredible ability to fail upwards. Just one of the most heroic upward failures of all time. Him and Kelvin Gastelum just doing it big. Yeah.
Can throw Kelvin in that. I feel like Kelvin has the legendary fight with Izzy. That alone is like infinitely more than Darren Till has been able to put forward.
He lost that fight.
It was amazing.
It was a great fight. We were there, cage side. It was amazing. Mm-hmm. Who has he beaten other than blind old Michael Bisping? Who has that man got a win over?
Darren Till? we talking about Kelvin Gastelum?
The question goes for either of them. Yeah. Darren Till's best win is old Donald Cerrone. I have said this on this program, on some programs here before. His best win is Donald Cerrone, which is just bad. Yeah, it's just not what you want. Be your best win.
But Darren Till is so good on the mic. That's all that matters. That's all that matters in the sport.
Yeah.
He's
so
good on the mic.
The whole fighting part is so like not important. Guys.
You guys remember when Darren Till was going to be a three-weight world champion? I remember. Pepperidge Farm remembers when Darren Till was like, I'm going to win welterweight and middleweight, and then I'm going to win light heavyweight. And his best win remains Donald Cerrone.
He was the favorite in the Woodley fight. Everyone was picking him. I remember that.
Was, and then he got killed.
Who won between Darren Till and Kelvin? I can't remember.
They haven't fought.
Oh, they haven't fought?
Oh, no, they did fight.
It was Darren's like
Till Darren. Won,
oh, Till won like a bogus splitty. He won like a bad split decision over Kelvin Gastelum. That's right.
I was there for that. That was
a bad fight, right? Was it a good fight?
It was a fight.
It sure was.
All right, okay.
That was the co-main event of that card, wasn't it? Of 244 before the BMF title fight? I think that was the co-main event.
Oh, jeez.
Good God.
Yikes.
What a What a dumpster fire of a
Yes, it was. Man, that was that's a hell of a card looking back on it. You got Derek Lewis, Blagoya, Vinoff on that on the main card. Also another split. Steven Thompson, Vicente Luque. That was
a good fight.
That fight was fun.
That was Steven just kind of outclassing Luque, though. I don't remember if it was fun or not.
It's fun to watch Steven Thompson be good when people aren't like just tackling him to the floor and beating the hell out of him.
Okay, this is why people like Darren Till, because like we don't remember the actual fight, but like we remember the theatrics around to get to the fight. It's just a weird. Yeah, exactly.
On both sides. Yeah. Remember the Kelvin Gastelum weigh-in with the towel?
Oh, he put the elbow on Cordero.
Yeah, the elbow. Yeah, that's what it was.
He got away with one. That was good.
I don't remember that at all.
Yeah.
Good for you.
Yeah.
I was there for the weigh-in, and I took a picture. I didn't even realize it until I posted on social media, and everyone like retweeted. I'm like, why is this one random photo getting so much play? And then I took like the perfect photo at the perfect time with like the correct angle, which never happens to me ever with anything. And I was like, oh, this is pretty strange and interesting. So, yeah, that was a weird fight. And Till did land on Friday in fights. He did a media scrum like right after the weigh-ins, like the ceremonial weigh-ins. And I'm still waiting for the Mark Kerr movie, Rock. What's going on here? Because you announced that day too.
Oh, yeah. He did the whole thing. I remember that. Is it in production? How far?
You have not heard a crowd go more mild than that crowd. Oh, my God. What, there were like three people there that knew who Mark Kerr were.
But he did the whole "Can you smell what I'm cooking" thing or whatever he does.
Oh, man, what's,
yeah.
Can you smell what I'm cooking?
What is the line? I don't know.
If you smell what the rock is eating, grab the mic. That should be the line. Yeah, that was tremendous.
Can you smell what I'm cooking?
Oh man.
Yeah, I think we're done.
Do you have anything else? We can't top that.
Can you smell what I'm cooking?
Do we take a single question about the car? We took a 1FC question, and then Darren Till's being ranked number 50.
Are there questions about the card?
Todd Duffy is fighting Phil DeFries this week.
I mean, could a title shot or title eliminator be on the line for the winner of this main event? Maybe.
There'll be one
fight away, probably.
I wouldn't bet on it, but I think a title shot, but title eliminator, like. If Ryan Spann just obliterates Nikita Krylov and then calls out Ankalaev or Blachowicz for a title eliminator, like that's legit. From the ranking standpoint, it will be legit. And like, who else are they running out there? Like, we're probably going to wait for Jiří and Jamal for, I don't know, August or something. Then you got to get next man up. So,
I mean, that Johnny Walker fight too with Anthony.
Yeah.
I just think it's what a great world this will be if somehow we have Jamal Hill in the main event against Ryan Spann for the title. Just like.
Be incredible.
A fight that would have been an Apex fight like 3 months
ago. Yeah, that's like a couple years ago. That's like maybe the first fight on a Apex. Not first fight on the main card or something, but yeah. But yeah. Some Tatiana questions.
The Duff Man, Shaheen, wax poetically about the long-awaited return of Todd Duffy, who, by the way, could find himself ranked on the MMA Fighting World rankings.
No.
0% chance.
Isn't Phil DeFries ranked in our rankings?
I think he's like number
15. I think I am the one keeping him as a Favre because I definitely have him ranked.
I think he's in mine, too.
Yeah.
I think he might be 15 for like a few people, but he's
you
not
have him 15. I have him 14, and Casey has him also in 15. Oh no, Mike, you have him at 13. AK has him at 15, so he's got enough to be there at the back end of the rankings. This is one of those scenarios. If Todd Duffy wins, then KSW won't have any ranked fighters. Is what will happen.
And the legendary title reign of Phil DeFries. How long has this man been the KSW heavyweight champ at this point?
1,000 years.
He's got to be on like 8 title defenses.
Hold on, I'll count this up. But it's
April
it's
of 2018.
1-18, yeah.
And he's been very active.
Seven title defenses.
Look at that.
This will be his eighth.
Todd Duffy going for history, gentlemen. History.
Well, this is, you could have guessed that he's been here, like the champ, for a while if you just know anything about the sport, because this is what happens when you have a guy who's beaten everybody. It's just like you drag up dudes he's lost to 100 years ago. And it's like, all right, you remember when Chuck Liddell got to fight?
This is Phil DeFreeze, yeah. Alex Pereira arc. This is what this
is. Yeah, this is, yeah, it's just absolute nonsense of, you know, we don't really have anybody else for him to fight, so let's drag old Todd Duffy out of here.
Oh, dude, DeFreeze is going to look great. DeFreeze going to
calls out John Volante. We can redo this whole thing that should have happened for.
Oh, John Volante's coming out of retirement too.
Okay, yes, that's the matchup. That's the dream fight. That's the dream fight.
And if he wins, then after that, who comes out? The cop dude. Who's it? The guy that knocked out Duffy? Was it the cop?
Dan McGee?
No,
it's not.
Oh, what was that guy's name?
Who's the cop who knocked out Todd Duffy?
Was he a cop? The Parker Porter.
Mike Russo.
Mike Russo. That was it.
Before we had Parker.
Oh, man, I forgot about Mike Russo. Can we do a damn on Mike Russo?
Was that the doink? Was that the doink knockout?
Man. Todd Duffy is responsible for maybe like the third or fourth best photo in MMA history. Him throwing that punch against Frank Mir, where his arm, he's throwing a right hook and his arm is literally just this way and his left is here and he's just diving at Frank Mir. It's one of my favorite photos. It's like Randall Plex photo, Todd Duffy. Just the funniest thing I've ever seen.
That Frank Mir fight, that's like, you will not find a more special 73 seconds. Like, that is that is a real piece of MMA art forever, you know? Like, hang that in the Louvre. Like, that's just tremendous.
That was like a random Wednesday or fight Thursday night card, wasn't
it? San Diego, I think. Yeah. It was like,
Yeah, it was a Wednesday night. That fight was insane. Oh, God. Absolutely insane. Josh Thompson, Tony Ferguson was the main event, co-main event, and Holly Holm, Marion Renault. Was that Holly Holm's first fight on that card?
No, UFC second fight. That was her second fight because she fought Pennington in her first fight.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Oh, man.
Who knows what these
glory days of Tony Ferguson. The glory days of Tony Ferguson. What a wonderful time that was.
Oh, we had to bring up Tony Ferguson, huh?
Amen. He annihilated Josh Thompson. That was nasty.
Yeah. All right,
I wish I could put this photo in the YouTube chat so people could see it in case they haven't. God, it's the best. The photo of Todd Duffy. I put it in our Slack.
I'm sure if you Google the best, Todd Duffy, it's Frank, the best here freaking photo.
It's the best freaking photo of all time.
Oh my God! You know what? I haven't seen that photo in a while.
That man's a professional fighter.
Oh my God!
It's incredible.
Is that the punch that led to the knockout?
Yes. Yeah. Yes. That's right. Yeah, he gets knocked out 2 seconds later. If you can guess why, it's unbelievable.
A big giant meat club. Big meat club coming for your head.
I guess.
I love the Duff,
sometimes
man.
Photos are deceiving, but that's how it looked. That's how it actually looked. It wasn't like this is a weird moment.
This is not an angle where he is doing exactly what you think he's doing.
Did Todd Duffy's career, did it end up being a disappointment? Did it overplay what we thought? Or did it end up just being exactly what it should have?
So it was definitely exactly what it should have been, but it wasn't disappointment.
Right, that's what I feel
because we were all idiots. And we just saw this guy who looked great getting off the bus. And we were just like, oh, this was also the real thin days at heavyweight when it was like Kane and that was it. There's just nobody was good. It's just like, okay, young guy getting off the bus, blowing the doors off Tim Hague. All right,
seven seconds.
Like the 7 second KO, this big dude. And then immediately we're like, oh, actually no, this fat cop is gonna knock him out.
On that note.
What a show. This might be the most
Shouts
random
to Mike
preview
Russo.
Show. Yeah. This is the most random preview show of all time. We went all over the place. We talked the fights, but KSW Todd Duffy is going to be a really fun chapter in his biography down the road. So
Do you think there's a market for a Where Are They Now on Mike Russo? Because now I really want to find out where
he's going. Let's go, Shaheen. Yes. Hey, Shaheen, let's work on our little retrospective video on Mike Russo. I'm down. I'll start clicking.
He's definitely just a cop in Chicago. Also, I just learned this now. I guarantee you, you guys did not know this. Mike Russo fought in Pride.
No, he did not.
Yes, did not he did. That. No, oh, like, nobody knew it.
In Japan, he fought Karatanov
in Pride.
What the hell?
Pride 23 is the Vegas one.
Oh, the Vegas.
Yeah, that was the name Diaz Gomez fight.
Yeah. Oh, I just pulled up his thing, and like in the top of his Wikipedia, it's like fought in Pride. Like that. That's a lie. That cannot be true.
Oh, my God. Oh,
man.
What a run here. Frank Trigg, Mizaki, Karatanov, Russo, and then you got Sokoju, Shogun, Nick Diaz, Hendo. God, what a card. What a card.
All right, guys.
All in line. All right, we are done. Stick around. New link.
Hit your mic.
Jake Paul, Tommy Ferry preview show coming up next. Thank you.
I'm having a great time, guys.
You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What does it take to be an entrepreneur, and how is it changing in our ever-evolving business landscape? This is Scott Galloway, host of the Prof G Podcast and an entrepreneur myself. Right now, we've got a special three-part series running all about the future of entrepreneurship. We're answering your questions on work-life balance, how to raise capital for your business, and more. Because when you're an entrepreneur, it's always important to look ahead at what's to come. So tune in to the Future of Entrepreneurship, a Prof G Pod special sponsored by Mercury. You can find it on the Prop G Pod feed or wherever you get your podcasts.
The NBA playoffs are heating up, and so is the action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. DraftKings brings you same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and so much more. You can download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code VOXMMA. That's code VOXMMA. For new customers to get 150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.